This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, it's Louis Fonsi with Daddy Yankee and Justin Bieber, Despacito, the DNMO remix. A little Friday fun for you. You like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. See, I almost knows all the words.
Yes. Or can sort of pass off as if he knows all the words.
Yeah, kind of like Bieber himself. Yeah.
Probably know more than Bieber.
Yeah, right. Remember this? Listen to this quickly.
No doubt Justin Bieber is one seriously talented performer, but still, sometimes even the best entertainers forget the lyrics. Case in point, Bieber's recent attempt to sing the chorus of Despacito. That's Bieber Tuesday night at One Oak in New York City. He's featured on the Latin Smash Hits remix.
Oh, wow.
He literally just goes, Despacito.
Beautiful.
At least I put in coriander in there.
What's the bit he was drunk? I mean, that's probably the most logical explanation, right?
Oh, boy.
All right, we got a couple of news stories we want to get to. Cover a few things. You can call us, obviously, Cliff Central, one word on the Skype. WhatsApp on 0797482090. You got something to say, we want to hear it. You can also send us voice notes. I'm just not sure how to get them off of this one machine onto the other one. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about that. That's my problem. Spring anthems, the songs of my people, Bass Hunter bottoming out and booming out of every self-respecting Golf One scraping low rider. I can just shake my head, but it's my people, Victor from Springs. There we go. Victor talking about people in Springs. Yo, that was a poetic. I mean, that was poetry. Yeah, that was slam poetry, that.
It took a while for me to get it.
Morning studio listening to the podcasts. What's the story with Ben and Mornay? Oh, people think you have beef with Mornay because you criticized what he was doing as Ebola. Not as Ebola, as Ebola.
I think he's talking more about the guy on the ship.
Oh,
because Mornay said,
I don't have beef with him. He's got bad taste, and then he must live with that.
Oh, right.
Pow, pow, pow.
You know, the things he said about Anthea were just not nice, and I'll stand up for her.
What did he say about Anthea?
Saying that he fast forwards finance.
Oh.
When he listens to the podcast.
Pew, pew, pew.
Not let me try and take this quickly. I got Ian on the line from Cape Town. Let's see how our marvelous phone system is working this morning. Hey, Ian, what's up?
How's it going? It's the weekend, baby.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. This sounds like shit.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Ian.
Thanks, Ian. Ian trying to, like, pep us up there, but the phone.
Oh, this phone.
This phone straight through. It goes. By the way, in case you're wondering, our phone lines go via North Korea. Mm. Then they go out to the Hubble Space Telescope. Mm-hmm. Then they come back and go through Greenland. And then under the sea, all the way from there to Cape Town, and then from Cape Town back here.
A loaf of bread.
Yeah. And therefore, for Ian, it has to go in all of that direction and then come back and then still go from Cape Town to Joburg. So it's too much. Apologies.
A lot of cable.
No, we've got it. We're actually getting a whole new phone system because I threw this phone against the wall the other day and I had my temper tantrum, and it seems things are starting to happen. So we may have a new phone system in by next week.
Yay.
All right. What do we need to know? We learned some very important stuff yesterday about Rob Kardashian. Very important stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, compared to everything else that's going on, that is the big story. And Amanda had taken screenshots of all the Black China nudes.
Yeah.
Have you found a buyer for those yet, Amanda? I mean, is there someone who's willing to pay money to take those off of you? Because I don't know that they're around anymore.
I just told them, I was like, if you guys want to see the nudes, like, I'm selling the nudes. Like,
there we go.
If you want the nudes, I've got them.
She's got the nudes.
Very
What's the starting price, Amanda?
Email Amanda at cliffcentral.com if you want the nudes.
Come with a good offer, though.
And by the way, if you have any interesting nudes, you can always send them to Sia and to Amanda, and they can filter through them. We could even share them on the cliffcentral.com website.
Sharing is caring, right?
Right. We'll put them under a special category called Not Safe for Work.
Sure.
Why not? Okay, so what do we need to know today?
Well, look, if you were in Melrose Arch yesterday at around 1 p.m., you would have gotten a Thursday that was just a little bit more exciting than average.
Who and what was there?
There was a drive-by shooting, Gareth.
No.
There was a drive-by shooting
in the Bloods and the Crips?
In Melrose Arch yesterday. Close. It is a gang-related story.
Oh.
But not only that, the person who was shot at drove himself to hospital after the fact.
You're joking.
And this is after he was hit. He was hit up to 14 times and he drove himself to hospital. I mean, it's like a scene out of a movie, like one of those Fast and the Furious movies.
Unbelievable. This is bizarre. Wow.
It involves alleged Cape Town gang leader. Sorry, he's still at it.
Yeah, sorry, they'll finish now.
Okay.
That's the last round out of that magazine.
It involves alleged Cape Town gangster leader Ralph Stanfield.
What is he doing in Melrose Arch? I thought we're decent people in Melrose Arch.
Business,
the hell is this?
Business is business, Gareth. Stanfield is believed to be a leader, or the leader, rather, of the 28s gang.
Oh God.
Anyway, he was critically ill in intensive care last night after being shot in Johannesburg. Stanfield was hit up to 14 times when gunmen opened fire on his car, a white Audi R8 with Gauteng number plates in Melrose Arch.
I saw the pictures.
Did you see the pictures?
Okay, now I know what that was all about. All right.
But it is understood that he was wearing a bulletproof vest when all of this went down.
I guess that's a fashion essential in his position.
Exactly.
Stop. I can't breathe.
That was him putting on the vest.
Now, police spokesman Captain Mavela Masondo said the incident happened at about 1 p.m. yesterday. There were two people in the car.
Can you imagine all those house bras sitting at all those restaurants in Melrose Arch in the square there? Tasha's.
Oh my God, did you see that? There was a R8 and then suddenly it was full of bullets.
Now can't we just eat in peace? First it was Oscar, now it's this gang.
Tasha's is seriously, I mean, like, there's a lot of shooting around Tasha's. Don't get me wrong, I love the restaurant, but Jesus, it seems to be a magnet for gangsters.
There were two people in the car. No word on what happened to the second person, but all they're reporting on is the fact that this alleged gang leader was shot several times and then drove himself to the hospital.
Well, I mean, that's pretty brave. You drive
yourself. That's a hood rule.
Yeah, and also, like, good on Audi for making a car that can sustain that many bullet holes and still drive.
Listen, it doesn't make them look bad at all, Ben.
That's hood rule number five. You got to drive yourself to hospital.
Yeah, so Captain Masondo said that Stanfield drove himself to the nearest hospital but lost control of the vehicle when he arrived there and ended up hitting three other cars. The 3.3 million rand supercar ended up with its nose buried in the side of a Ford Figo. Shame.
Oh, it's shame. That little Ford Figo. Imagine the person who owns that. They're just scraping through every month a little Ford Figo and they're proud of themselves because they're paying it off little by little. Some fucking 3 million rand car comes and takes you out.
Man. Now, they would not reveal... They would not reveal which hospital Stanfield was taken to because the police fear that the would-be assassins will still go after him.
Yeah.
Man, this is juicy. However, photographs of Stanfield's damaged car on social media made it clear that he was at the MediClinic Morningside because... you know what? Trust social media to just release files at the most inappropriate time for you. No.
It's hard enough being a gang leader.
Yeah. So the police have launched a manhunt and they are looking for suspects, but I mean, very little information is available with regards to who the drive-by shooters are. Stanfield's wife, Nicole, had spoken to the media saying that, you know, she was on her way, to Cape Town International Airport to catch a flight to Johannesburg. Her husband is the fourth alleged Cape Town gang boss shot in the past 2 months.
By the way, who made my tea this morning? Who's responsible for this tea? Who is it? Amanda, you tell me. I need to hear it from you. Who made this tea for me this morning?
Started.
Jesus, it's awful. It's like the sweetest... It's the worst tea in the universe. What's going on here? Do you have two left hands? Have you just learned to walk upright?
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on with you? Are you dragging your knuckles half the time? Did you spill half my tea on the carpets? Can you count?
Can you count?
What a mongoloid. Awful.
It's rough. It's rough out here.
That,
guys,
by the way, is Amanda's cousin, Star. She's here with two of her cousins, Extra and Star. And Star is clearly not to be trusted with tea making ever again. So for you sweeping today, the other interns can take care of the tea from here on in. All right.
From one tragedy to another, it's actually a Ford Fiesta.
Oh, no.
Oh, is it?
I'm looking at this poor car now.
Not even a Figo. It's a Fiesta.
I think it's a Fiesta.
Oh, yeah, Ford hasn't been having the best of years. Hey?
Well, especially this is not Ford's fault.
And you know, the worst thing is this is outside, right? Oh. So this poor Ford driver maybe couldn't even afford the parking inside. It's like, you know what? I'm going to put it here in the street. All good.
Imagine that. They probably met someone.
Piles into it.
I just try and imagine that person's like, one payment short of having their car repossessed, and maybe they've gone for a job interview.
Yeah, they
go outside, some gangsters driven into your car.
Oh.
And that's very much the Morningside Betty Clinic.
And don't think that the gangster has insurance. What are you going to do? Threaten him? Take him to court?
So then what do you as the Ford driver do? Who are you going to claim
to? You sell your kidneys.
Oh, man.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Life really is unfair.
You sell
unfair
your kidneys and you go into prostitution for a little while.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of helpful because that main road by the hospital is where a lot of prostitutes hang out. Mm. It's just up from West Road South. Used to live there, Gareth. There are lots of prozzies around
thanks,
there.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, used to live on a prozzy street. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because whenever I used to come visit you, there were always women coming out of bushes.
It's funny you noticed
very,
that.
Very well-dressed women.
I never saw them, Ben.
Now, Ben, as someone who
maybe they just fell.
As someone who has been shot themselves.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine driving yourself to hospital after taking 14 odd bullets? Like you know what it feels like to have a bullet in you, the fire, the burning, the pain.
Well, I guess it's experience. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen because it was my first time being shot. Now, for this guy, maybe it's not his first time, so therefore he thought, you know what, okay, shot, damage.
Just another day.
Yeah, I mean, he was wearing a vest.
Yeah, I was quite keen on lunch, but I've been shot, so I don't have to drive. And then he probably knew he could drive. But then again, you know, you don't become a gang boss by being, you know, a bit of a Nancy.
Softy, yeah. Nick says on WhatsApp this morning, "Morning, guys, I actually know the guy. He's one of my patients. For a gang leader, he's a really lovely person."
Oh, Nick.
We have such interesting people listening to us.
Wow.
Man. But that's the thing, gang leaders nowadays, they probably know how to use an Excel spreadsheet. They're not just common thugs with bad sailor tattoos.
Yeah.
Sophisticated organizations, these gangs.
So it's like as profession and people know and okay, we're just going with this. No one's raising an eyebrow to it.
Well, how about the wife? Hi, I'm just going to go visit my alleged drug gang bust boss husband.
Yeah. What does he put in the occupation line?
What does she tell her parents?
Okay.
What are the 28s known for? Like, what's their brand?
I don't know. There's 26, 27, 28.
Yeah.
So I don't know what can someone clear this
can
up for us?
Can someone give us a gang education session?
You know what? Do us a favor. If you know anything about this, then either WhatsApp us because then we can get hold of you on a decent line. You can't call, so you could Skype us, mm-hmm. I suppose, Cliff Central. But otherwise, 0797482090. Someone's bound to know the difference between the 26s, 27s, 28s.
Mm. Or if you've driven that Ford, also give us a call.
Yeah, if you're the driver of that Ford. You probably can't afford data to listen to us, so it's probably not you, but... Yes, Amanda.
It says here, understanding the 28s, they are the sexual offenders who have sex or who are raped in the gang.
That sounds so lovely. Don't you just want to join?
So does that mean that everyone who is a 28 has been, you know...
an offender.
Or been...
had their asshole explored.
Yeah, there we go.
Well,
those were the words that I was grappling for.
Yeah,
so, you know, as of late last night...
Nothing like a bit of anal on a Friday.
Yeah. Everyone's got a club.
Yeah. Just a bit of this, a bit of that.
For some people, that's a whole reason to go away on a Friday after work. Hoping to score some anal, you know.
All right. Okay. So on that note, we will.
My mind is just like, let's try to move.
Shame. You know, I think about our intern for these 3 days, Luca, who's come from Rhodes, where they've got a respectable school of journalism. and he's here to study media. And they're going to say to him when he gets back to campus, oh, what did you do for your work experience, your 40 hours? And he's going to say, oh, I was at Cliff Central. And they go, that was fantastic. I mean, you must have had such fun. Yeah, I had a good time. Nice people. And then they'll say, so what did you guys do? Did you look into the Bell Pottinger press release or the Gupta leaks? Or were you interviewing fancy journalists and people who've written books and people who are doing political analysis like Justice Milan? And you go, yeah, there was a bit of that.
Yeah. A small bit of that.
But on Friday, we really focused on anal sex. That's what he's going
to
say.
Well, it's integral to the drive-by shooting story.
Sure.
That's what journalism is, Gareth. It's probing. In this case, it's really probing.
Yes, it is.
Good call. But
do you think your lecturer is going to be impressed? Get over to this microphone quickly. No, here, this one. You can come to this one over here. It's fine. We've got many microphones in this building. It's not like we only have one option. All right, so Luca, what are you going to be asked by your course coordinator when you get back there?
Well, I mean, undoubtedly, we're going to be writing an essay about this.
What would you write in your essay? Let me know.
Well, at least I have plenty of content. I mean, we can talk about all the crazy shows.
Mm-hmm. You haven't seen anything yet. Today's Friday. You're in for a special treat because Dave Levinson's coming in at 9, and he's going to do the Just Now show, which is ridiculous. Then there's John T and Tamar, who have the sex show.
They put a whole new definition to probing. Yes.
And then there's Casper De Vries, which is by far the wackiest show we've ever had and ever will have. In fact, in South Africa, possibly the world.
Yep.
That's from 11. So you're in for a real treat today.
Yeah.
Well, you chose the right day to be here. All right, sure. So I want to see that essay before you hand it in, all right?
I'll CC you.
Make sure.
You
know.
And in this essay, how much is Extra going to feature?
What do you mean?
Why? You only met her this morning.
Well, then just a tiny little, maybe in the conclusion, on the last day, there were some other interns that came through.
Is that all you're going to say?
Extra's not an intern. How very dare you?
How very dare you?
You didn't learn a lot here this week, did you?
All right, well, while we're on Extra, let's get an update because people loved you when you came in the last time. Come and sit down here in the studio. We'll treat you seriously like a guest. Mm. And you tell us what you got up to in Cape Town and what you've been up to since you've been back in Joburg. Extra, of course, is Amanda's cousin. She's from Australia, and she's here in South Africa on like a little, what is it, almost like a gap year. Yeah, a gap year type thing. Yeah. So what's going on, Extra? How was Cape Town?
It was so good, but it was so cold.
Colder than what you're used to? Because I think Joburg is sometimes a bit colder, or no?
Bit of both. Like, I feel some nights in Cape Town it's extra cold, and it's like
so. What did you
fine.
Have to, what did you have to do to get rid of this freezing temperature that you were trying to avoid?
I had to wear about 5 jumpers and 2 pants and like 5 socks and my beanie and everything
in bed.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
it was so cold.
Where were you sleeping? Were you sleeping under a bridge?
No, but it felt like it sometimes.
All right. Now, what kind of people did you meet in Cape Town?
I saw my dad for the first time in 12 years.
How was that? Emotional?
It was so emotional.
Did you cry?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's nice. Did he cry?
Like a tear.
Oh, okay.
But that, like, he's
so he's kind of hard ass.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. But it's special. I mean, you guys, you haven't seen each other because he's been here and you've been in Australia.
Yeah.
So did you stay with him for most of the time?
I did, yes. And then I saw my uncle for the first time in since 2012. But he's off in America right now.
Oh. Is this a nice uncle or a drunkle?
No, he's a nice uncle. He's a very, very rich uncle who travels the world.
Oh, we love those. Yeah. That's good. So you had to be nice to him, right?
I've got, for my work, I've got like American money, euros and all that stuff. So he wants to buy it off me, then he'll...
Oh, okay. Some illegal foreign currency trading. That's fine. I mean, everybody does that, you know. Sia was trying to get some euros off of me the other day.
Sure.
It happens. Yep. Okay, so where in Cape Town did you go out and what kind of stuff did you get up to in your spare time?
I went to Butterfly World.
Butterfly?
It was amazing.
It's amazing.
This is in Hout Bay, isn't it?
No, it's like... Stellenbosch way.
Okay, and you go into like an aviary where they have just
like a different
butterflies.
World.
Yeah, but there was those really, really tiny monkeys. And when my dad and I walked into the cage, they literally just jumped on us and they were like taking my glasses, my camera, and my phone. They were
a little naughty.
They are. They were.
Are you sure those weren't just drunk Stellenbosch students?
Probably. Yeah. But in disguise, maybe, but.
Sounds like it could be. Okay, Butterfly World. I was really expecting you to just go through the names of a few bars and things, but that's very impressive.
Oh, I went to one, but I was one? Very drunk.
Only
I was
one?
So drunk.
Where was it?
I can't remember.
Was it in Cape Town itself or in Stellenbosch?
It was in Cape Town in the city. Yeah. It was like a really nice bar, but I just.
You don't remember much.
I got free drinks, so why not go for it?
Do you think that the.
This guy, Jared.
Do you think the people in Cape Town are better looking than the people in the rest of South Africa that you've been?
I think all the guys in South Africa are good looking.
Really? So Australian men, by comparison, not as good looking. Mm-mm. We've discussed this before. You said that they're a bit greasy and bogan.
They're like, ugh, I hope I don't get another phone call like last time.
No, you really upset that one guy.
Very angry Australian.
You know, did like the Cape Town vibe, the chilled guy get you, you know? Was it like the beachy, sandy hair?
Sounds like your fantasy, Sia.
I know. I know.
I am just asking a professional question.
For a moment there, that suddenly was not about extra at all.
I am sure.
Sia started to.
I'm sure extra was in the bar, locked eyes with someone from the crosser room. Said, now, hey, Jared.
Good day. Can you buy me a drink? All right. Beer? Thanks.
You're not. What I like about you is you don't seem to me to be very socially nervous and awkward. You just go up to people, say hello, make friends immediately. Right.
Yeah.
Do you feel Amanda cramps your style when you go out together? Because she can be a bit bossy. Don't you think? Amanda, am I being unfair? You're a bit bossy. Your other cousin, Star, is also shaking her head in an affirmative motion, saying, yes, you're a bit bossy.
No, I don't call it bossy, but someone has to take responsibility. Yeah. I mean, Gareth, it goes apeshit.
So hang on. You disapproving of... But you weren't in Cape Town with Extra. You don't know what she got up to, or do you? What do you know? What is she leaving out? Because
she's not telling the best part, but she met Jared here, and somehow Jared was in Cape Town.
Oh. Is Jared potentially more than just someone you bump into at bars?
Yeah, he was.
Good looking guy?
He's like a surfer, like that surfer look.
Yes.
Tan, so tanned.
I'm muscle. With you, girl.
The hottest guy I've ever been with. Oh, my God.
All right. How far have you gone with him?
Full on.
But you've gone away?
Yes, extra.
Yeah,
extra.
Big penis?
They know.
Big cock.
Apparently.
She's shaking her head, yes.
Okay, apparently.
Yeah.
That night that we went out.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to be shy of what I'm saying, but
you're among friends.
We were super, super drunk. Apparently, we hit it on for 3 hours, but it felt like 15 minutes.
Ooh.
You had sex for 3 hours?
What?
Yes, girl. Jesus,
woman,
yes.
You got some stamina.
Possible. Yes,
he's got some stamina. Do you think that maybe because you were a little bit drunk?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes...
How old is he?
23, yes.
Wow.
Did he give you the hickey on your neck?
You got a hickey on your neck?
In the words of the great Katy Perry, is that a hickey or a bruise?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm definitely getting that disapproving look from Amanda right now. Amanda, you don't think that she should be behaving like this? Or?
Well, I'm still young. I can, you know.
I think you're allowed
to. What happens in South Africa stays
in South Africa,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Except herpes, girl. You gotta get that.
Yeah.
The herb.
Are you worried that Jared may be doing this with many other women and you have you been even slightly concerned that you needed to just check him out?
No.
You know, medically.
Well, he's like those type of guys. He even admitted it to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. That he's not on his phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't text me or anything, it's not being a dick or anything. He's just like busy.
What did you two say?
If a boy doesn't text you, it's because he doesn't want you.
Star says if a boy doesn't text you, it's because he doesn't want you. Do you believe that? That's wisdom from a 16-year-old, huh? Do you think your cousins are being mean? Do you think that they're just jealous because you're getting laid?
Well, they can get jealous, but...
Star, get close to the microphone. What's this?
I'm too young for that.
Yeah, you're too young.
She's an angel.
Yeah. No, angel. And quite right. And you don't you become one of those girls who goes and tries to do everything when you're 16, all right?
Yeah.
You got time. Yeah, please. Behave yourself.
So that means... what did Jared think of your... is it pierced nipples, right? Mm. Because the last time you were here, you were telling us about how you got your your piercings.
He loved it. So can I just see it one more time? Okay, just one more. Can you just like, just walk naked?
Have you shown have you shown anyone else your pierced nipples?
No. I told my dad that I got it done, and he was like, why? And then his girlfriend was like shaking. She's like, why would you do that?
Is she very conservative?
Yeah, she's like, not even I would do that, but...
Wait till they find out about you banging Jared for 3 hours.
My dad even asked me.
What?
He was like, oh, what did you guys do? I was like, oh, we were just drinking, having fun. He's like, did you sleep in the same bed? I was like, yes.
Wow. I mean, he's not in any position to be telling you what to do either after like 12 years of not being around, right?
But he's a very cool dad. Yeah, he even told me after he divorced my mom, he went off and did ecstasy and that stuff. So I was like, whoa. I didn't even think it too much.
No, it's an open-minded family.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go back to Cape Town?
Yes, I really do. I want to see my uncle and...
The rich one.
Yeah, the one she's got to swap some forex.
My other cousin, El May, I haven't seen her because the last time I saw her in 2012, she brought her boyfriend with. And the whole time she was just snogging him and like, if I want to go talk to her, she just looked at me and she's like, okay, I'm just going to go snog my boyfriend rather than talk to you.
Out of all of your cousins, do you think Amanda's the most responsible?
Yes, she knows like, she's that sense where if something's going to fuck up, she's like,
she knows
instant, like, okay, we need to go and that's
right. And she doesn't get into trouble.
No, not really. It's more like me getting into trouble, but...
Oh, and by the way, now where does, since we have Jared and the surfer boys in the picture, where does that leave like our farmer boys, you know, that whole lifestyle?
I don't know. I've never really met like a farmer boy. I've seen them like where I work. I've seen them there because I work on a farm and that stuff.
Yeah, you meet up with them at the general dealer.
Yeah, the wheelbarrow thing.
Right. The wheelbarrow thing,
there.
I know what you're talking about.
So what about the guy in Australia? That's a better question.
Oh, we had a... Oh, I don't know. It's we're on and off, but...
Well, no, you're off. You're not even off, in Australia.
He's taking her to Bali.
I was meant to break that.
Extra read all about it.
It was meant to be a surprise, but then he's like, okay, I'm going to take you to Bali. My first time going there.
Bali's beautiful.
I want to go and get my tattoos there done and go clubbing because it's awesome. I went to go there for schoolies last year, but mum said, no, I have to save up
money.
What's
schoolies?
Schoolies is like when you finish your 12, you go to Bali, and you get super fucked.
Oh, it's just like a back rage. Yeah, I'm a trick back.
But it's more cheaper, drugs are cheaper, easier to get and all that stuff.
Amanda's gone to matric back 3 years in a row.
No, like it's nearly stars one, so I'm definitely going with star.
Well, why are you still?
You have to look after her.
I do.
I mean, you're the responsible one. Oh, look at them giving each other a hug. That's so sweet.
But no, Gareth, please don't let star fool you. She's also crazy.
No, I don't believe it.
Tell them about when you went to Ultra when you were 13 years old.
Oh my god! Oh, Ultra, Jesus! And I didn't go to Ultra until I was 23.
We needed to make her a fake RD. And my brother and I were like, okay, sick, we're going to make this fake ID.
You know that's illegal?
And, oh, well.
So what did you have, a photocopier and a printer, and you scanned some other thing and changed the photograph and the name?
It was like a student card, and we put it together.
Oh, God.
We went to Postnet, everything. And then what we did, like, we didn't realize, like, what we were actually thinking. And as we got to Ultra, we were like, okay, tickets. Like, student card, we're going through the gate. So, like, Star's still a little bit stressed. Like, she's 13, but, you know, what can we do?
Sure.
So, we go through, and, like, my brother gets through. Like, he's 30, he goes through. I'm 18, I go through. And Star, I just see her, like, standing there. Like,
the guy was like, he was like, he said he was like, turn around.
He just told her, go home. Like,
oh, you're joking. Straight away, they just, they saw
no,
you.
Because what happened was, the ID number was messed up.
We messed the ID number up.
So I knew it, but it was in the wrong order. And this guy was like, what?
So
and
it said she was born in like 1950-something.
Yeah. Oh, rookie era.
She's like my dad's age. That's such bullshit. I reckon those guys who run these clubs and these events, they must be expert at picking up bullshit. Mm. Right?
No. Mm.
Well, it doesn't seem too hard.
I think they're pretty good at this stuff. Who are we talking to now? There are a lot of people on the show this morning. Let me just make sure that our audience know what the hell's going on. So, Star, what did you want to say?
So, on Saturday, I went to Nikki Beach, and I never had a fake ID. So I took a photo of my friend's sister's, because she's turning 20, and I showed the bouncer, and he said, "Is this you?" And I said, "Yes," and I learned the ID number, and I told him, and he let me in.
Yeah.
So I don't think they know that we're lying.
But she was stressing. She was so stressing. Like.
All right. So now listen, the plans for this weekend, are you spending a lot of your time partying and going out and clubbing and meeting new people while you're in South Africa? I mean, you're here to have fun, right? You're not here to have a horrible time and to knuckle down and spend every minute working.
I'm sleeping more.
What do you mean?
Like, sleep in to like 12.
To 12?
Yeah.
Even during the week?
Yeah, because, you know, I love sleeping.
Sure.
But you need a big sleep before you go out. So
what's your plan for today? You're going to go home after this, you're going to have a nice fat sleep, and then you'll wake up tonight at, what, 6-ish?
Yeah, and then get ready.
You have something to eat.
And then...
You've got some outfit picked out?
Yeah, I'm wearing my high boots, my skirt, and my pink top.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you approve of these outfits, Amanda?
Yeah, no, they're pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you've got a plan to meet particular people, or are you just going to go out and see where the night takes you?
I am. My goal is to get super fucked with my cousin.
It's
a good plan. I wish I'd had a better plan when I was your age. I didn't.
Nothing wrong with that.
In fact, I feel like I've really missed out on life. All right. Well, you know what you all could do is we could send Amanda and Luca and Extra and Star all to the same place and have them all record their own experiences. And then we compare notes on Monday and we'll see who had the best stories.
Sounds
good. That could be fun.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like it would be interesting too. All right. Thank you, Extra. It's good to catch up.
No worries.
Extra, Amanda's Australian cousin who is hanging out with us this morning. And we're having some fun and catching up on everybody's little tales. And then Star is the other cousin. And in case you're still wondering, Amanda is sitting there and running the show from the booth, and Luca, our intern, is hanging with them as well this morning. And he's actually a journalism student.
Mm.
Yeah, he started telling me about that last night, and then I stopped listening and walked away.
Oh, shit.
But I did try to listen for I listened for a good 2 or 3 minutes, right? Yeah. All right, very good.
Four, three minutes.
For me, that's
about it.
Are you kidding?
Those are good innings.
I deserve a medal for that. Do you know how boring it is to listen to someone talking about journalism? Do you have any idea?
I'm just surprised his liver is intact, you know?
All right, let's get into some of the stories that everybody wants to know about this morning. What's going on? What's trending? What are people interested in? What's happening in the news?
Okay, well, let's talk about sex, baby. Move over blow-up dolls. The sex robots are here. Artificial intelligence is making its way into the global sex market, and they're bringing with it a revolution in robotic sex tech designs.
You know that they say that virtual reality, where people put on those goggles and headphones and they feel like they're in 3D and all the rest of it, virtual reality would not have been developed to the degree that it is at the moment. In other words, it would be 3 or 4 years behind if it weren't for the sex industry. Because obviously that's going to be the first place that they can monetize and get some of the money back on the research and development. So sex fuels development.
Yeah, sex fuels a lot of things. Now, the Foundation for Responsible Robotics have released a report on the growing market in sex robots.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that rapidly advancing technologies have already led to the creation of Android love dolls.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they are capable of performing up to 50 automated sexual positions. Now, you look at your partner and you ask them if they can. 50, yes, exactly.
50.
And I bet you get app updates, too. So it could be 57 next week.
App updates. They are customized down to the nipple shape, pubic hair color. Now, here's the catch. They can cost anything between 67,000
Rand. 67,000
Rand?
That's all relative.
Do you have any dates you can go on for that?
67,000 Rand all the way up to over 200,000 Rand.
Oh, yes. Oh, eat it.
Oh. Really getting into it. Man.
Yes. Now, if I would feel so embarrassed if I were having sex with a robot. What if someone walked in? Yeah, let me tell you
yourself
something.
At home.
No, but Ben, even if there was no one around, if you're having sex with a robot, do you know what that does to you? I just think I'd feel pathetic and weak and that would be so horrible. How do you look in the mirror after you just had sex with a robot?
I mean,
it's just, aren't you? Oh, you could, and for 67,000 rand, are you kidding me?
And I mean, that's the cheap version. Like, that's entry level stuff.
Oh.
That one probably only does two positions.
No.
But outside of yourself, Gareth, think about this, because the questions are being asked whether or not including the use of such devices should be encouraged in sexual therapy clinics, for example. Hmm. What about for sex offenders?
Well, maybe we should talk to Jonty about this.
What about for people with disabilities?
You know what I thought of? We should get one of these sex robots and put it here in the studio permanently, and then all our celebrities that come in have to spend 15 minutes with the sex robot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Do you think so? Wouldn't that be exciting? Scholopat one day, then the next day we have like, Ferial Hafiji. Oh. the next day you get Halema Mutlante. You never know.
Noel Sharkey is a professor of artificial intelligence and robotics. Noel Sharkey.
No way. Yeah. What's his name?
Noel Sharkey.
Hi, I'm Noel Sharkey. I developed the sex robot.
Yes, he is a professor of artificial intelligence and robotics at Britain's University of Sheffield. And he says it is difficult to predict how far or how fast the market can grow or what its effects on societies might be in years ahead. Will these robotic dolls be niche or will they change societal norms, Gareth? You know, you say that you would feel like a complete idiot having sex with a robot.
Yeah, I would.
But would they change societal norms and become widespread and then become the norm?
Well, I can tell you where they'll be normal is in Japan. People, they don't care. Mm. They do a lot of weird stuff. They have such bizarre like attitudes to sex. It's almost a different universe when they you know, not just sex, a lot of things. Japan, there's some very strange stuff going on there. So I think they would be the ones to introduce it into the mainstream, and then maybe prisoners.
Well, the report looked at some of the most contentious issues, including asking the questions on whether or not sex robots might be helpful in reducing sexual crimes.
Yeah, there's also that.
It found major disagreement on this question. Some argued that having sex with a robot would reduce attackers' desires to harm a fellow human being. Others argued that allowing people to live out their darkest fantasies with robots would have a pernicious effect on societal norms.
Well, if you look at that show Westworld, right? Every scenario just ends up with them killing or raping or whatever, pillaging another robot.
Yeah.
So then you go into society and then you have no ability to go on a normal date and have normal consensual sex.
So then do they then do the same thing to human beings?
Well, you would imagine, like, if that becomes a habit for you, that sex is like this power play struggle, then maybe that's got an adverse effect.
There isn't even a struggle. There isn't any kind of pushback from a robot. So I don't think that's an issue. And what we've got to do, and I don't like these arguments when people talk about how robots or porn or anything else is going to make men rape more. I don't believe that for a second. I think there are guys who do that and there are guys who don't. And it's not a sex thing. It's a power thing. Mm. We know this. There are countless psychologists and psychiatrists and social workers and anthropologists who've looked at this situation. They know that when a man is abusive or sexually violent, it's usually not because he's horny. It's because he's got deep-seated insecurities. And he doesn't know how to deal with his feelings, and he has a problem with the way he views women.
Yeah, I don't buy
this
thing.
It's not to do with how turned on you are.
Then how come there aren't as many then female rapists?
Yeah, well, this is the point.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
Well, if we stick to some couple news, if we're continuing on this, Statistics South Africa has just released quite a range of interesting trends in terms of reviewing marriages and divorces in South Africa.
Well, is it true we have the highest divorce rate in the world?
I don't know if specifically I can go as far as saying that. But
well, I think so, because there's a correlation between golf estates and divorces. There are a lot of golf estates.
Sorry. Okay.
Screw statistics essay. All Ben Kopinski. What is your analysis?
Break it down for us, Ben. Break
well,
it down.
They swing as safe havens. I mean, look at Zimbabwe, for example.
Swing as safe havens.
Now, when I met Patricia Lewis and we partied one night, she jokingly suggested that it's a good place for swingers.
Wait. I've never heard this story.
Can I taste your juice?
I know you've met her, but I didn't know that you partied together.
Yeah, it was a Gary Player Invitational event.
My ass is well the fuck out.
So, but now, if you are in the swingers club, you and your husband or your wife, then why are you getting divorced when you are allowing yourself?
Well, you got to get divorced in order to enter the golf estate.
Oh,
so that's kind of like the thing.
So the golf estate is basically just like a front for this underbelly of a cult.
It is more of a safe haven, so you can go there. A lot of second marriage happen there.
Wow.
You know, if you find men in their 40s that still have long hair, middle partings, you just know that's it. They are throwing it. They're rolling the dice.
So behind like the high rise walls.
Yeah. Well, it's estate living, I think.
So this is what happens. Who knew? I think this is a theory. I don't think there's any practical evidence of this. But
well, look, I mean, there hasn't been a carte blanche expose about it. But you know, you can join the dots quite easily in life.
Well, Ben, look at this. It's quite a revelation. Yeah. If you live in a golf estate and you'd like to corroborate the evidence, please, you know how to get hold of us.
Wow, thank you very much, Ben. I'm so much more enlightened.
Yeah, so helpful.
So what else does this survey show?
Well, back to statistics SA. It basically just shows that age is nothing but a number, hey? Because overall, the report showed that a total of 138,000 civil marriages were registered the Department of Home Affairs back in 2015 going into 2016, which is 8% fewer than the year before. But it shows that 21,000 husbands were actually younger than their brides, and a further 10,000 were rather the same age. But it also goes on to now depict this whole new trend called gray divorces, which are people who are gray-haired and older and who just feel like, actually, screw it. Like, I'm done with you.
Wow. After spending all those years together.
All these years, they go, not happening. But they've also seen an increase in older people also getting married as well. 1,600 men over the age of 70 got married in 2015, and a total of 568 women in the same age bracket also got married, while six males and only 77 brides below the age of 18 got married. I did not think it was that, like, why would you get married when you are 16 or something?
It's because you grew up in a trailer park.
Well, and then...
Because your parents, you're married to one of your relatives.
You don't even know what ice cream flavor you like at 16, let alone who you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Star, you would not get married. You're 16 years old, you tell us. So let's not try... You wouldn't get married...
No, and I don't ever want to get married.
Ever?
So, nah.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
It's not something that I, want to do.
Are there any people you know, I mean, you're 16, are there any of your friends who are thinking about marriage?
No, not that I know of. Oh. And I think it would be too crazy because, like Sia said, you don't even know what ice cream flavor you like.
Right.
And how you, want to spend the rest of your life with someone you're, it just doesn't make sense.
All right.
But look, at the same time, you know, for a certain paycheck, I would. Moving
paycheck?
On.
Sia wants to be a house husband, remember?
Sia, you are such
a
slut.
I want to be able to...
Stop playing golf, Sia.
Sia, you want shorts. You want to be able to have those long lunches like the house frows at Melrose Arch had yesterday the drive-by shooting happened.
Sia would fit right in.
Yes.
He'd be the house husband and they'd be the house frows.
Yes. Why am I still
They'll yenter it up on long boozy lunches. Sia would be ordering more champagne.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
He'd be going, ladies, I'm going to get us more champagne.
Just give me the mimosas.
Yeah, there we go.
Mimosas, but hold the orange juice.
Oh, man.
That's my life, but really quite pushing it as well, if you want to know. Farming and related activities were noted as the sector where the highest divorces were.
Which industries?
Farming and related activities.
Oh, really?
We have
Boersoeke vrou, Boersoeke divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Boersoeke verschillende vrou.
And then they also noted
nog 'n vrou.
This is for younger people, where the most divorces took place with particularly men who were managers and administrators, while females who were professionals and in the technical occupations. Heaven only knows how they got all of this information, but this is what Statistics SA says.
Someone says here on WhatsApp, it is rife in the Gulf Estates. Ben is right.
Mm.
Big expose done on Mount Edgecombe Gulf Estate in the Mercury 2 years ago. Apparently everybody's banging each other's brains up.
John T. Rhodes was running out of marriages and houses and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Really?
Allegedly. Go say allegedly.
Okay, yeah. Ben, do you want to take a little trip to
He was in and out of those chinos that he was flogging for years.
I'll be your caddy just for one afternoon at a golf estate.
See, doesn't Sumisi live in a golf estate?
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lives in Danefern. I mean, Danefern, Mount Edgecombe, Zimbali. Take it, roll the dice whoever you want.
Okay. Wow. I'm spoiled for choice. That's
Who
what you're
would
saying.
Have guessed these quiet little golf estates?
Mm. Well, why do you think they built Stain City? It's because they just had to get out of the heat. So they still want to live in the golf estate, but we've just had enough. And just take a breather there for a while.
And all that, the shrubbery, and you have your little golf cart and...
Ben talks about prostitutes climbing out of the bushes on West Road South. Well, there are a lot more bushes on the Gulf Estate.
Look, we're all freaks deep down, I think, and this is what it comes down to.
You know.
But like, think about it. It's perfect because then at least you can redeem yourself morally by playing 18 holes in the morning.
Well, so, or 19 holes. If you can. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Depends on what kind of an input you are. Could be a three-input woman. In that case, it could be 18, 19, 20, 21 holes.
You can always play the backside in the afternoon.
Well, let me tell you, South Africa is full of interesting things. We pretend we're such a conservative nation. There are two South Africas. Thabo Mbeki was right. It's not black and white.
What is it?
It's people who pretend to be good, upstanding, moral citizens, and then when the lights go out, they become... dirty.
Mm.
Those are the two South Africans.
Down for the night.
Oh, we've got to face up to our own demons. Look in the mirror and realize how freaky we are.
Do you think? Yeah, not even do you think. We definitely are getting less conservative.
Oh, for sure. I think people are just becoming more honest. I don't think they're changing their behavior. They're just becoming more honest about it. Like Mabali, you remember how we used to talk about this stuff 10 years ago on radio, and people would be, that's so controversial.
Yeah.
Now, and it's not just because our attitudes are more open and pronounced on this channel, but people are, like, you go out and you hear girls talking about things that they would never have spoken about it publicly, in public before.
Mm.
Yeah, the pressure continuously is being lifted on what society expects out of you. So I think this is why we are having these conversations more freely.
I think it's healthy.
You mean like just a mere 10 years ago to say, I'm a woman, but I don't want to get married, nor do I want kids. That was a bit of a...
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You would be ostracized. Most of the rest of the women, let alone the man, if there was one, they'd cast you out of the crowd. They'd say, sorry, you're not in here anymore. You must be a witch.
And now here you are at a dinner, and just before you've even ordered mains, people are already talking about, like, you know, their sex toys and their fetishes. So, hey.
Well, I think that's healthy.
Yeah, if you've got one of those things on, you should be admired because it means that you've done something bold in your life. And people like that should be applauded.
And according to Ben, if you live in a golf estate, you're a pervert.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily a pervert. Again, you're being bold.
All right. Ben, if you had endless amounts of money, would you be living in a golf estate?
Definitely not. Those levies are scandalous.
We said endless amounts of money. You still wouldn't pay.
Still, it's the principle of the matter.
Okay.
I don't think I would because it's just, you know, it's, then you have to hang out with certain people. You see certain people the whole time. And you know I'm not good with that.
All right.
Because then you feel socially obliged to, like, you know, talk to people.
Okay.
Oh, okay. By the way, this is kind of, guys, multi-choice is trying to take up TV piracy.
Or
good luck.
They can try.
They
sure. They're going door to door with this.
They can try.
They have gone as far as, this is Multi Choice Africa, by the way, going as far as teaming up with a digital platform security specialist company, and they work together to get three Egyptian content pirates convicted. So these
Nobody
three content pirates were now sentenced in Cairo for a 2-year jail term, and they've been fined 1.28 million rands. They were found guilty on all charges that included selling illegal pirate subscriptions and allowing for more than 160,000 pirate viewers to access and watch this TV content. Like,
You're wasting your time, guys.
Choice. Really.
Really, you know, all multi-choice will do if they go after these people is turn everyone against them. You can, of course it's wrong, but everyone's doing it. And I'm not going to stand up for doing anything illegal. I've downloaded illegal stuff before off the internet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I didn't. I think everybody has. You're just trying to save your business. People can see through this. It's not you standing up for the law or what's right. It's you guys trying to stop people from pirating stuff so that they watch your dumb shows. Sorry, not interested.
It's similar to what the cab drivers are doing.
Yeah. Let's go to Ian. Hey, Ian, what's up, dude?
How's it better?
Yeah, this is a much better line.
Yes, I can hear. I couldn't hear you from that time. But now I'm echoing.
Yeah, sorry. Nothing's perfect in this world, Ian. We try.
No, you guys have covered a couple of things I wanted to talk about. First, that Bell Pottinger.
Yeah, what do you think of Bell Pottinger? Would you engage with them commercially?
Well, listen, I tweeted them. If I have to talk frankly, I'd be swearing too much.
All right. It's terrible. Well, then let's calm down. All right.
The Black Land First, that guy must get taken to task, flat out. Because, I mean, he is really hurting people, journalists and stuff like that. I get pissed off with him, man. That's my main thing for him is then
right.
that if they started that, then they must get taken to task for that.
Sure.
And then we can also show him up so that he'll be running scared around this country once he gets called out. Eh?
Well, the only reason we even know he exists is because the Guptas are giving him money to show. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, so, okay. And what else is on your mind, Ian? You sound like you've got a lot to get rid of today. Purge.
Well, I'm from Benoni originally, so
East Rand.
That's
very good.
Beautiful stuff. That Aussie chick that's from South Africa, that's quite a story.
Do you like Extra? She's got an interesting life that she's living.
No, flat out. Seems like Cape Town's treating her well, though. So it's up, baby.
Good. Damn straight.
And then you're talking about the levees, and I've got a mate who's got a house at Leopard Creek, and their levees apparently a while ago was 20 grand a month.
Really? So, that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
20,000 rand a month in levees. But then I suppose that's to look after the leopards and the crocodiles and the watering holes and the fences.
The place is, it obviously is unbelievable. Eh?
It is incredible.
Really, really unbelievable. Yeah, you've got a place right next to you, Henry, but it's unbelievable. On the crocodile, beautiful. Mm. Eh? Mm. You can fish off his deck. So it's
What?
You can fish off his deck, you can drop a line. He's got a deck right onto the crocodile. Really,
so God, that's a huge deck.
I don't know. What happens on a night where everybody is drinking just a little bit too hard and they slip and fall from the deck?
They get eaten by the crocodile.
It's an impressive deck.
They're right there. The hippos, the crocs, they come right. I mean, the crocs come right there. You can see them. Yeah.
Wow.
If you die in Leopard Creek, it stays in Leopard Creek.
Well, that's why you pay such massive levies, because there's like Ray Donovans all over the place tidying things up. You go there with prostitutes. No one knows.
If there's black mambas there, the guys come out and they just pop them in the roof. They just shoot them, shoot them out the roof. They just come in with shotguns and shoot them.
Mambas are hectic there. They had to stop a golf tournament once. And then the one time I was in the rough and this gray thing came towards me. And I might have had a long jump of like 6 meters.
Hang on, a gray thing?
Well, like black mambas aren't black like the night.
Right, okay, yeah.
So this thing came at, because snakes don't come towards people, right?
Yeah.
They generally
black
go away.
Black mambas do.
Because they feel the vibration as you walk towards them. Mm. There was a rustling straight at me, and I played my provisional.
Yeah, a black mamba will actually look at you and come for you.
It'll look at you, spit at you, as they say in the K flat, it'll vase you and then it'll bite you.
It's like a stare down. It looks at you and goes, "Well, what are you going to do about it?"
Yeah. No, they actually to hunt. They want to kill you. Oh. They will come after
black
you.
Black mambas are called puff adders pussies.
Well, they were lying in bed one evening and they felt a shudder onto their, you know, it was late at night and they felt a drop onto the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put on the lights quickly, and it was a mouse or a little brown house mouse or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the lights off, and then they thought, what the fuck would make a mouse jump from the roof? Mm-hmm. You know, from the, because that's all those thatch roofs. That's got mm-hmm. those, you know, the logs in the ceiling. So it's open ceilings, just that. So they said, yeah, let's just put the lights back and have a look. So they looked up, and there it was, a black mamba, you know. So they called the security. They just came there, like, I think it was probably about 11 or 12 at night. They just took a shotgun, just poof, out the roof.
Now, I'll tell you something. That's worth $20,000 a month, if you ask me.
No, I'm thinking the exact opposite. As a person who's terrified of almost anything, that doesn't sound like money well spent for me.
It's living on the edge, though. I mean, ooh, some people go to this place where they watch someone have sex with their wife. Yeah, you get a bit more value. No, but seriously, I went to stay with a friend there once, right? And we got out on the Saturday morning after a boozy Friday night to go play golf. There was a half-eaten buck carcass opposite the drive.
No.
When we came, apparently what happens, you know, leopards can jump really high, right? When we came back, the buck was gone. Everything was fine. But like a few months prior to that, someone staying in the same house, there's this, like, this beautiful outdoor shower overlooking the Crocodile River. Mm-hmm. There was a leopard just chilling there.
Dead.
How's that for a sighting, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Because to see leopard, that's really a treat.
$20,000. Like, cool.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, people love you. Carl says, take this oak to task, flat out, but this guy's awesome.
He's flat out. Remember, I phoned you a while ago. We spoke about Gwyneth Paltrow when you're still at 5 FM. When you just acted.
No, of course, I don't remember.
Remind us.
Anyway, I told you she's such a cow, man. When I was a waiter in LA, and then
okay, I got you.
Yeah, the best oak ever.
Did
was,
you hear that Gwyneth Paltrow? Listen to this. Gwyneth Paltrow goes on holiday with Chris Martin, that's her ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
and the kids. They have like family time, but it's just them.
Yeah.
Now, you can't tell me the two of them don't hook up as well. I mean, they're still both. Yeah, I mean, she's an attractive woman. He's this rock star. The two of them must. I think they probably bang
just for old times.
No, flat out. Yeah. I mean, you check at some of the sex scenes they do. They're naked, and you tell me they don't bang in there.
Of course they do. Yeah. And he wrote her
absolutely.
Didn't he write her that? Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you.
No, when she left.
Please,
him,
she starts drooling when he starts singing that.
Well,
that's a leg opener. Flat out.
I heard they've actually got a house at Mount Edgecombe.
Okay. Yeah, you see, that's what conscious uncoupling looks like.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between it and divorce.
You know what else uncouples is trains, and you know what, they can couple them together again. LA. Now, who else did you meet while you were waitering in LA?
I met pretty everyone. The most awesome oak was Denzel Washington. He used to sit and speak to me for hours. I used to work for Madonna's brother in a restaurant there called the Atlantic.
Now,
and the owners were like cokeheads. They were like hectic, but they used to go mull all the time.
Tell me how you become comfortable with sitting and talking for hours with Denzel Washington. I would be socially anxious, awkward. I would be worried I'd say something that would piss him off. How do you talk to Denzel? This is one of the greatest actors of all time.
And I tell you, he used to tip us like crazy. Look, the thing is, he'd come and sit there. He found out I was from South Africa. So he said, is it bad? Hey? And then he'd come and sit there and have a ciggy and then sit and have a chat. Never fuck around, never mess. Always a really
such
good guy.
Such a decent dude.
He's just an amazing. And care, like, you know, you speak to him about something, and when he sees you next time, he says, I remember that. And he listens to you. Very, very nice. I used to sit and chat to him and Jeff Fahey a lot, the guy from The Lawnmower Man. He was also a hell of a nice guy. A bit weird, but
I don't know who the hell that is. Go back to Denzel.
No, I met them all. I met, another great guy was James Gandolfini. I know he's passed now, but he was amazing also.
The Sopranos.
Yeah. They were all staying there. All the cast of Bold and Beautiful is staying there. 90210, those guys all used to Jason. Jason Priestley was, I used to speak to him a lot.
Was he always drunk? Because he had a big drinking problem.
No, he's got a bad drug problem. There's no drinks.
Really?
Okay. Now, I'm sorry to ask a silly question, but were there ever ever times where Denzel couldn't understand you, you know, because of the accent difference, especially when you're talking about flat out and but.
Yeah, and I'm from Benini, so you know it's like China. No, but when you talk Benini.
Please,
you know,
he's
so.
Like, oh, I've heard this before from Princess Charlene of Monaco.
No,
Your Serene Highness, you're what flat out? I do what you need.
Check it out, you.
Come this check it out partner. The pool. Hey, Prince, what's her husband's name? Prince Albert, right? Hey, Albert, yeah. Come Albert. Over here. I've run out of shampoo in the bathroom here. Bring me some more, bro. What's that, Princess Charlene?
What's this cuck here, bro? What's this cuck here?
Imagine Princess Charlene. She does an award ceremony in Monaco, and like people are lined up, and she's about to make you like the grand knight's companion of the Order of Monaco or whatever. And she goes, yeah, right. I well done on that that shit that you did. I right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cheers.
No, that's it. I did a men's health competition once, and I did quite well. And the guy... And the,
what have you got? Have you got a really good buddy?
I used to have. I used to model in the back in the day, but now I'm just a chunky monkey, you know.
All right, but, I'm sorry about that.
He used to. So the internet came in and said, "Listen, we're looking for obviously, you know, presenters and stuff, and you look, you know, you're sitting there. It's a good call." I said, "Oh, cool, great." But they see interview me, and then I was like, "Yo, like how's it, bro?" And I was like, "This," and I was, and then my wife was like, "Dude, you can't speak like, you must speak like more professionally." But I'm from Benoni. I'm not going to fucking go there and speak like, you know. And I actually kind of ruined the chances of it because I could have actually had something.
If you just shut your mouth and let your abs do the talking.
Left Benoni at home, you know.
Right,
left
exactly.
Benoni back in Benoni.
What do you do now, Ian?
I'm in construction now for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
Construction.
How could you
construction.
How could you get fat in construction? You guys are working hard all day.
Yeah, but you work hard, eh?
Yeah,
so work hard, you don't eat well, you don't train as hard. I used to train like a machine, you know, an absolute machine.
Clap the gym boot.
Men's Health used to say to me I was the most consistent. Okay, so they used to call me in January, I'd go in the magazine, you know. And
wow.
I used to be tight the whole time. But then, yeah, you're not, if you don't have to be in a magazine or on a
What's
commercial.
What's your surname? Let me Google you and see what you look like.
Northing.
Ian Northing.
Yeah.
I really want Ian and Rob from Amsterdam to have a conversation together.
Yeah,
I just want to sit in on that. Hi, Rob and Ian.
I don't see anything on Google about you.
Oh,
if you Google it, it comes up.
Let's try Instagram. Okay.
All right.
I've been in every magazine. I've done like 80 commercials. I've been on TV tons. I did Castle, Toyota.
Wow.
Ian Northing model there. It comes up.
Ian Northing model.
That's the first Google option that pops
Jesus.
Up.
Jesus. Look at this picture of you.
Where am I? I don't know.
You put those Spartans in 300 to shame.
Yeah, I know. I was straighted, but I promise you.
And you let yourself
wait, but
how did you let yourself go?
Yeah, well, Gareth, when guys like Ian said, when guys like Ian said let themselves go, they still have a six-pack. They're just not like cover shape.
You look
I'm quite hard on myself. I like it to be tidy, you know. So, but I haven't.
Who do you look like? You look like a bit like Hugh Jackman in this picture.
Where are you? I don't know where the fuck are you. Where are you?
I'm looking at a picture of you from Men's Health. You look like Hugh Jackman.
You said Men's Health.
Yeah.
Like I did so much Men's Health. I don't know where. Let's see. All right. Men's Health. Yeah.
All right. All right, dude.
Oh, that's the competition, eh?
Yeah. Very respectable.
Yeah, that was that. Yeah, I was tidy for that. I was up against.
Your wife must be so disappointed. She married this male model, and now you've turned out to be a fatty.
Yeah, listen, I've been with my wife since long time. There, I've known her since I was 16.
Listen, this is a lot of people are saying this is the best episode so far of East Randers. It would be only appropriate.
Listen, I've got a couple of mates I can bring on here. Be
fucking all right, bring them in. All right, do you miss the East Rand?
I do sometimes, but listen, when I go there, the place, I do miss it. I've got so many mates here. I mean,
because Cape Town's a different kettle of fish to the East Rand.
But the Tulivia is awesome, man. It's really
next time
awesome.
You're up here, Amanda can show you the new East Rand that you've missed out on. All right, dude.
I see you also had another mate of mine, John Sanna, on there the other day. I'm quite into this.
Yes.
This that what's that ayahuasca? Because I got another mate who's done it, but he's gone a bit tilted. He's gone he's gone flat out. He's done 249
All right, Ian. Listen, we got to go, man. Thank you very much.
Sweet, son.
All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Ian, and another one of our extended family.
Oh, Ian can stay. He can stay. He's all
oh,
right.
Oh, Mabali's only saying that after she saw the six
pack. I really want Ian and Hi Rob to have a conversation together and I get to just listen in. That would be so entertaining.
Are you kidding? Do you know how it would sound? This is how it would sound. That's what it would sound like.
Look, I just heard your Hugh Jackman comparison, so I'm down.
If we're wrapping things up, can I close it off with a bit of breaking news?
Bring it on. You want some actual breaking
news?
Yes,
please.
Oh, my God. This is very serious. All right,
live from the news desk.
Well, I guess word got back to Bell Pottinger that they can keep their apology. In fact, they can stick it where the sun don't shine.
Yes.
So they have now decided and said that they are going to release a full report into their dealings with Gupta. Gupta
Inc.
Gupta Inc. Yeah. So that's what they say. We'll hold them to it. We will be waiting for that full report, Bill Pottinger.
All right, you dirty, filthy animals.
I don't know if I can believe that anymore, but let's see.
Let's see.
Well, it's the right thing to say. It's not what they do.
Mm.
This is CliffCentral.com.